Yeah, you didn't turn mine on, Shelly.
I'll go ahead and call for order for our regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on December 22nd, 2015, if the audience will join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is public comment section number one. This period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody moving towards the mic? Consideration of proposal of proclamation to declare February 3rd, 2016 as Puppy Mill Awareness Day. Lisa Q, a representative of the Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. I'd like to have a seat over here for us. Okay.
Well, good morning, and thank you for allowing me time on your agenda today.
Certainly.
I have a very brief statement I would like to read to you, and then I'm happy to entertain any questions that you might have, if that's okay.
Good, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm Lisa Keel, and I live in Boone County near Madrid. The Iowa Friends of Companion Animals is based in Des Moines and was established in 2009 to address the widespread abuse of dogs and puppies that continue to take place inside Iowa's USDA-licensed commercial kennels, which are commonly referred to as puppy mills. Iowa Friends is proposing that all counties, as well as the state of Iowa, adopt a proclamation declaring February 3, 2016, as Iowa Puppy Mill Awareness Day. This date corresponds to the statewide Puppy Mill Awareness Day event to be held at the state capitol. Iowa Friends will also be presenting a copy of this proclamation to Governor Branstad for his signing. I am providing each of you a copy of the proclamations as well as some information on Iowa's commercial dog breeding industry, highlighting this ongoing problem. Included also are key points to proposed changes in legislation designed to address the inhumane treatment of the 15,000 adult dogs currently subsisting in these kennels. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Certainly. Wayne, do you have any questions?
No. I read through the proclamation, and again, this is an opportunity again to make people aware of the nature of puppy mills and some of the things that do go on there that is really a concern. And I think those of us who are animal lovers and have little puppies and dogs and so forth can certainly appreciate the advocacy groups such as yours and trying to make sure that we have a safe and humane way in which they are, you know, being made available to the general public. So, again, thank you for bringing this to our attention. And with that, I would, unless you have a comment, I would move that approval of the proposed proclamation as submitted to declare February 3rd, 2016 as Puppy Mill Awareness Day.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been adopted.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And can you tell me, is there any follow-up I need to do on my part now that you've approved this?
These get recorded?
What? No, after you guys sign it.
After we sign it.
Send it to you.
Sending you a better copy of it.
I'll pass it to you. Or, you know.
Yes, that would be perfect.
Thanks.
Okay, no, thank you very much. I appreciate your time today. I know you have a busy schedule.
Consideration of minutes from 12:15.
Move approval.
Second, any additions or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Tooth? Aye. With personnel actions, I need to give a little disclaimer. My brother David is actually on here today, scheduled for a longevity adjustment in his pay in accordance to a approved bargaining unit contract.
Okay.
Just so there's no question.
Great. Well, I move approval of the personnel action as submitted.
And I'll second that. Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Those have been approved. Consent agenda. We need to add road closures. 1446.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. That's been approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of communications improvements to the Story County Emergency Operations Center. Melissa Spencer, Deputy Director. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Sanders has been aware for some time that we have been applying for Homeland Security grant funds to do some improvements to the Emergency Operations Center. We were informed this last fall that hopefully sometime after the first year we will be in receipt of grant money to install a video conferencing and data projection system. This system will replace outdated equipment and then have the installation of the video conferencing equipment, which is new. As the EOC space does belong to the county and in the county building, before we start any construction, we wanted to get approval from the Board of Supervisors to go ahead with the project. Currently, we are writing the RFP for the project and are consulting with facilities management and information technology, as the installation will have an impact with both of those. But if we don't have a definite timeline in January when we will receive the funds, but right now we're basing the funding, hopefully will come January 15th, and that's what we're basing the project upon. And we have to complete all construction and have receipt of the project by the end of June, as that's when the grant closes out. So what I'm asking from the board today is just an approval to go ahead and do the construction if we come in with an RFP that meets the requirements of the project and the amount of funding that we have.
Melissa, could you tell me, and whether I don't know of this, several times during the course of the year, I serve on a lot of different state committees and things of this nature, and occasionally we have video conferences, and we have to go to an ICN site. Currently, right now, for us, it's the Iowa State University area. Once this is set up, would that allow me basically to sometimes hook into maybe a conference in cohorts with the state? Do you know?
I don't know the specifics of what the system, final system will look like, but our hopes is that it could be used something similar to an ICN.
Right.
The ICN network is very secure as far as, you know, if you're dealing with sensitive issues. I don't believe our system will be quite that robust.
Yeah, it would just be the idea of that what we're talking about is just a video conference, yeah, back and forth exchange, because it's all public information.
Yeah.
In the meetings that we're usually holding the ICN.
Yeah, that would be this. We hope that this project will be similar. Again, we're working with a very fixed amount of funding, so we're kind of hoping that we have estimated appropriately. We did work with a gentleman from Iowa State University that's very familiar with video conferencing and data projection systems. And so we hope we can receive a bid that will allow that. After the project, one thing that we'll be looking at is actually, that's not part of the grant, is the software program. So there'll be some further discussion with IT on what software program would probably be best to look at building into our budget in the future. So,
okay.
Yes, it could be used when the EOC is not in use. It would be available for video conferencing training needs and such if the room's not being used.
Will this change the physical layout of the room, or is it just addition of?
It won't change the physical layout of the room. We believe right now we have a very good fixed layout with the way the computers and tables and everything are set up. This system will just allow everybody in the room, no matter where you're sitting, to be able to view at least one monitor. And then also for anybody that would be in the room to be recorded video and audio wise. That's the objective that we're putting forth in the RFP.
Okay. So are we approving, really seeking, going out and communicating for the RFP and in this proposal to actually accept the grant that we're receiving? Because what is not clear is if there are additional funding above and beyond the grant dollars, and I assume, like we've done in any other situation, if that becomes something that we deal with, we would deal with that on a separate situation, because there is no direct funding amount attached to this at this time.
The grant has been applied for with Homeland Security on behalf of the Emergency Management Commission.
Okay.
And that funding will be handled within the Emergency Management Office.
Okay.
What we're asking for approval is we did not want to start actually installing equipment into the walls of the EOC without permission from the board first.
Okay.
But the grant is completely managed through the Emergency Management Commission.
And the amount of the grant?
The estimated amount that we've been told we would receive is
$31,500.
Okay. So we're just waiting for final confirmation and to get the paperwork from Homeland Security to start down that road. But that's as of what I know right now, that's what we've been told the grant amount will be.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the added clarification. With that, I will go ahead and approve the consideration of the communication improvements of the Story County EOC as recommended.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two?
Aye.
That's been approved.
Thank you.
Next time?
And
change your lanyard before you come in here.
You know, I won't hold that.
I'm not sure who signed off on that.
Who's going to the Rose Bowl?
Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that looks okay to me.
No.
All right. There's no agency, departmental, or other reports. That takes us to public forum number two. Comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirement to open meeting. We may do so in the future. We have a request from Randy Collins to come speak about the Highway 30 road closure. Morning, Randy.
Good morning. I appreciate the time. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update. What's transpired since you passed the letter to the DOT opposing the road closures? Since that time, we've met with the commissioners and we've also met with the DOT or director of the DOT. He is very enthusiastic of closing those intersections. He wants continuity throughout the Highway 30 corridor. I addressed the issue of slowing the speed down on that road, pointing out 34 seconds per 5-mile-an-hour decrease between Ames and Nevada. Absolutely not. He was totally opposed to that. He said it would cut down on economic development within Nevada, and I can pursue that, you know, if you wish further information on that. But Levon Schultz asked a couple of different times about keeping the intersection of 6th Street and Nevada open. A couple of different ways she asked it, and totally opposed that at that time. So what's happened is the city of Nevada now is going to be forming a task force. It hasn't been formed yet. They've sent a letter to the DOT. The DOT has responded by the end of the week, last week, to the Nevada City Council. Scott Dockstetter wants to meet with the task force that has yet to be put together by the city of Nevada. I did volunteer. I put a vision before the Nevada City Council what I would envision this task force containing as far as people. I wanted somebody from the County Board of Supervisors, some people from the Nevada City Council, some businesses affected directly on that highway, as well as a couple of citizens from Nevada. The Nevada City Council was very much in favor of that. They wondered if the county wanted to be involved, and I said, from my understanding, yes, they would be wanting to be involved if at all asked. So from that basis, I was hoping to put this off till after the first of the year, but I guess we're meeting with an individual tomorrow as a retired engineer that was wanting to come forth with some ideas on this S-14 and Nevada intersection, along with other ideas along the corridor as well between Ames and Nevada. So a few of us are meeting with that individual tomorrow, but that's kind of what's going on right now. And I guess as I expressed to the Nevada City Council, I believe we need to be proactive in this approach. I believe that we can find a better solution than what the DOT presented to us. I firmly believe that. Will it be as cheap? Probably not. But one area of concern, or one thought I've had in my mind, and then I brought it up with another individual in Nevada, was possibly extending the road between that goes by Van Wall or goes to Van Wall Equipment out here, taking that another mile further west. That would go down the quarter-mile fence line. It would involve four landowners that would have to be contacted, but I would entertain that as a possibility down the road. About paving that road going for a mile west.
Question, are you referring to kind of an outer road or access road off of 30? So you're not thinking something that's north-south?
No, it would be an
east-west
road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that quarter mile would hook into what?
That road there would hook 610th Airport Road to 600th Avenue.
To 600th Avenue.
Okay. There's a couple of things that would help down the road, and I can see that road happening either way, actually. If things all fail and the DOT decides to put an interchange out here at Airport Road, that would allow access to the individual farmers and a lot of other farm traffic to get over to 600th to get across the railroad tracks without having to go down Lincoln Way and Airport Road. Mm-hmm. That intersection is truly, that's, if they funnel all of this additional traffic to that area, that's going to be a disaster waiting to happen. With trucks coming over the top of the bridge and skating across that on a frosty morning, no, that's not fun. So I truly believe that if a road was built between 600th and 610th, so at that quarter mile point, that would help take some traffic off of Old 30 and take it over a mile, then where you have better visibility and everything, and maybe put the city of Nevada may put some stoplights. Who knows? But my recommendation to the city of Nevada was start out with a whiteboard, come forth and just toss ideas at it, and then start putting pluses and minuses into them, and start tossing things out and adding things to it until we come up with a working solution that would hopefully take care of most everybody for this whole corridor. I firmly believe it can be done because it needs to be done. I don't foresee, I understand what Director Trombino is talking about as far as continuity within the, he feels that when this road's four lane, it needs to be 65 mile an hour. He does believe that. He said people will drive that. Well, people are driving that plus. They're going 75, 80 on this thing. Does it create a hazardous situation? Sometimes it probably does. They're envisioning high traffic counts in the future. 2035, they're envisioning 20,000 vehicles. I don't know where they're coming up with that number when the traffic count right now is, for the last 8 years has been about 13.7 to 12.7. It's been fairly stagnant. So I don't know where they're coming up with the 20,000 figure, but I suppose it could happen. So I think we need to be looking at it from aspects of if they do end up having to close those intersections, what are we going to do to funnel traffic as a county for the safety sake of everybody involved, farmers as well as truckers, just taking everybody into account as well as citizenry as well. But that's kind of an update of what's been happening, and it's still moving forward. Like I said, what we're waiting on right now is the Nevada City Council to put a task force together. Yeah. So,
well, Randy, I can't speak for the entire board, but I think that, I can't see why the county wouldn't want to have a representative on that committee.
Okay.
I believe the impact, the future impact for the economic vitality of our county is going to rest with things that the county will ultimately be responsible for. When you look at infrastructure and access roads and all the other things in the business that are currently there. And I know Supervisor Sanders is not here today, but I think they reach out to us, I would hope that one of us would be willing to serve on that task force. And I know I would certainly be willing to consider it as well. So
the avenue I would probably want to take then would be to say to the city council, for instance, they would like, you know, if you do wish to involve the county in this decision, to send a letter to the Board of Supervisors. Would that be the proper way to do that?
I got the letter already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Monday.
Okay.
I had it. Either Monday or Friday, I can't remember. But, I'm going to respond positively to the mayor. So.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yeah, we will have. And we, like we said earlier, the board has stated earlier, this, no matter what happens out there, the county's going to have to spend some money.
Yeah, I understand.
I think it would be in our best interest to be represented on that task force. So, yeah, I'll respond to the mayor today.
Okay. Appreciate that. And appreciate your time.
You bet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day, Randy.
You too. Yeah.
Liaison assignments and committee meetings. Wayne?
I briefly met via conference call with Carla Webb yesterday and didn't have a whole lot on the agenda. We did talk a little bit about the challenges with the managed care and the delay for implementation, and that one of the providers, WellCare, has been dropped, so we're down to just three managed care provide right now, then we also talk about that the governance board of our Central Iowa Community Service Board is talking about working with Mike Galloway to look at employment contracts. There's certainly a need for to have individuals who are employed by the region to perform certain tasks and duties, so we'll be looking into that. And then to announce that Jennifer Kearns, I believe, or something of that nature, is taking the administrative two position. She was formerly with Mary Greeley in the home health area, so we will be officially welcoming her to Story County, and I believe she comes in her first part of January or something of that nature. Also yesterday she met with her staff, and they were working again with Veterans Affairs and trying to coordinate how they will be handling some of the requests and contacts when for the Veterans Affairs. So we'll hear more about that at a later date, but it seems that the transition is working out quite well. No big issues have surfaced at this point that I'm aware of.
I'll pass. Announcements. Wayne.
Okay, none. Just happy holidays to one and all. You know, looks like we're not going to have that white Christmas, so that's okay with me. We'll deal with that.
And I'll just remind everybody again that next Tuesday is just a claims-only meeting, and Wayne will be the only one physically present. Rick and I will call in, so we do have a quorum.
Okay.
And I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.